You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What would you do if you fell in love with someone other than your husband or your wife? The advice for such a situation given by an anthropologist and a counselor at the University of Michigan may indeed surprise you. His advice is this: in matters of sexual temptation, at the office or wherever, there is an old rule. The greatest act of courage, yes, the best answer to temptation, is to flee the situation. Any thinking person runs away from threatening fires. And in the same way, you do the same thing with temptations which threaten your marriage. This university counselor finally stated that the one thing you do not do is to see how close you can come without getting burned. Oh, there is no need for us to run to universities to get practical advice for avoiding marriage-wrecking and home-destroying temptations. The Bible records God's clear-cut advice in some of His very first words given to man. In the first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read where Cain, the older son of Adam and Eve, wanted to get revenge on his younger brother Abel. But just when the devil was doing his very best to trip Cain into temptation and sin, God intervened and said, "Sin is crouching at your door, Cain, and you must master it." God wasted no time in setting the record straight. He advised Cain on how to handle temptation. And so let us never look at this as a mere interesting historical event. This inspired example of God's desire for good to triumph over evil in your life and mine certainly provides all of us with a shot in the arm. Yes, a breath of fresh air. Yes, this is a real-life example of encouragement to all of us who are now struggling with endless temptations. Many of these disguises of the devil are a direct result of our increasingly promiscuous and liberal society. The great reformer Martin Luther, in discussing this event of God's gracious advice to Cain, calls this an exhortation which is very rich in comfort. On the one hand, we should fear God because sin lies at our door every hour. And at the same time, we can look at this in a very positive way. We can, as the Reformer points out, trust God because He is extremely merciful. Now, I don't believe we really need to probe deeply into the numerous temptations we face every day. The road is level, the traffic is light, the temptation to speed on the highway is intense. The rules of income tax are complicated. The chances of getting audited don't seem all that great, and the temptation to cheat is very, very strong. The questions on the high school examination are difficult, and it is so convenient to look over at the answers on one's classmate's paper. Again, the temptation to cheat is strong. The checkout clerk at the grocery store is super busy. She accidentally gives you too much change, and the temptation to say nothing and to steal the money is very strong. You hear some gossip about someone you know, and you realize you should not repeat it, but rather speak well of your friend. Nevertheless, the temptation to say just a little bit and to pass on the malicious gossip is very tempting. And of course, we always want to say, "I really don't know whether this is true. It's only what I've heard." Oh, what a damnable excuse to gossip, which God will never accept. As a high school student, you know that the Ten Commandments state, "You should honor and obey your parents." Nevertheless, the temptation to disobey your parents or to speak back to them or to speak evil of them to your friends at school, this is also a very, very strong temptation. Now then, this is the question that only you can answer. Is your situation similar to that of Abel's brother Cain? Is sin crouching at the door of your life? Are you presently undergoing intense temptations to do that which you know is wrong? Or is the devil constantly trying to get you to fall into old sinful habits which you would just as soon forget forever? If so, then God is speaking to you today in our text from the book of Genesis. Sin is crouching at your door, and you must master it. Now anyone who takes up the task to win the war against the wicked one, the father of temptation, will soon learn that the devil is clever, he is very, very powerful, and yes, the devil is far superior to any human strength. Are we to say then that all is lost? Are we then to give up in despair? Are we then to give up and offer our body and soul to the lecherous lion, the one who roams about planning to devour us? Are we to hand over our marriages and our homes? Absolutely not. A solid bedrock foundation, yes, a first line of defense, is ready and waiting for you and me in the living Word of God. It is indeed always, as the psalmist reminds us, our hope and our help always comes when we look unto the Lord. And so today, let's look, for instance, at the public ministry of our blessed Lord Jesus. Following his baptism for nearly 6 weeks, Jesus was attacked by the evil one. The battle between good and evil was intense and the stakes were high. Finally, after the 40th day, there was a temporary break in the cosmic conflict. The Father sent his angels to minister unto his beloved Son. Now it has been the sad mistake of many to believe that after the 40-day temptation in the wilderness, the struggle between the devil and Jesus, the paramount and decisive battle between good and evil, was forever finished. This is not so. All during his 3 years, all during his public ministry, Jesus was constantly hounded, hourly hassled, and endlessly harassed. It was the devil's desire. Yes, it was his devious intention to derail the Savior's plan of love, to die on that cross for all sinners he loves so much. The struggle between the Messiah and the evil one became increasingly intense and violent as the time arrived for the Savior's trial and crucifixion. And then finally the climax between good and evil occurred. On Good Friday, between 12 noon and 3 p.m., a total darkness covered the entire land. This darkness symbolizes the judgment of God against all sin and the devil. Jesus, at that point, took upon himself the punishment of the sin of the whole world. Yes, God's terrible curse against sin was borne by the blessed Redeemer on the cross. And who, we must ask, was the final victor, the winner in the greatest of all battles? That final verdict was delivered for all time for the whole world to hear when Jesus, after finishing his battle with Satan, after crushing his head, Jesus cried out victoriously from the cross and said, "It is finished." At that moment, the first messianic prophecy, the first evangelistic promise, initially given in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, was fulfilled. In the Garden of Eden, God warned the devil that Jesus would eventually crush his head. And this is precisely what happened when Jesus cried out, saying, "It is finished." This cry of victory is now the foundation of all strength, of all hope and courage needed by every Christian in their battle to overcome the devil. That one who is always crouching at the door of our lives, seeking to destroy not only us, but our families and our loved ones. Oh, my friend, then, in your hour of temptation, turn not to yourself for inner strength. Never rely on human ability to contend against the prince of darkness. Instead, reach out by faith for God's victorious power, the power of the crucifixion cross of Calvary. Oh, I know how ridiculous all this may sound to some of you, and yet it remains true in every generation, just as the Apostle Paul proclaimed. For many people, any sermon based on the crucifixion cross is utter foolishness. But unto those who are being saved by the mercy of God, the cross of Christ is the power of God for salvation unto all who believe. Let us, my friends, therefore, sing in our lives as the hymn writer wrote, "Dear Christians, one and all rejoice, with exultation springing, and with united heart and voice, and holy rapture singing. Proclaim the wonders God hath done, how his right arm the victory won, right dearly it hath cost him. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly over me. Sin was my torment night and day, in sin my mother bore me. Yea, deep and deeper still I fell, life had become a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me. He spoke to his beloved son, 'Tis time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to man salvation. From sin and sorrow set man free, slay bitter death for him that he may live with thee forever. The son obeyed his father's will, was born a virgin mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. No garb of pomp or power he wore, a servant's form like mine he bore, to lead the devil captive. To me he spake, Hold fast to me, I am thy rock and castle. Thy ransom I myself will be, for thee I strive and wrestle. For I am with thee, I am thine, and evermore thou shalt be mine. The foe shall not divide us. Yes, it was on that wooden and bloody cross that the blessed Savior proclaimed total victory over the devil. And it is through the same cross, and only through the cross, that you and I can confidently possess all the strength necessary to overcome the power of sin and temptation as it crouches at the doorsteps of our lives. And so then, my friend, as we possess in our hearts the confidence of the gospel message, let us always be sober and vigilant in our daily lives. The sin of sexual immorality has the power to wreck marriages. It has ruined countless families. In recent years, we have even seen the outcome of gross immorality in the frightening transmission of fatal diseases. And yet the greatest sin of all is when people separate themselves from the regular contact with the life-giving Word of God. Martin Luther, in his explanation to the Ten Commandments, says, We should fear and love God, that we may not despise preaching and His Word, but hold it sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Yes, this same Word of God became flesh and lived among men. This living Word took on skin and bones and muscles and lived among men. And now this same Word, this same Jesus, who was crucified and raised from the dead, lives within the hearts of all believers. This then is the secret of the real fulfilled life. When Jesus lives within someone by faith, then that devil, the evil one, can never get the upper hand. Darkness turns to joy. And the devil may harass and hassle, but he can never overcome the Christian. Final victory is denied this prince of darkness. The devil lost the battle on the cross, and he will always lose the battle against Christ-filled Christians. And so in your hour of temptation and worry, always grasp firmly unto the promise of God given through the Apostle John. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. Indeed, my friend, have no fear today or any day, for greater is the resurrected Lord Jesus, who lives within you by faith, than the father of all lies, who has had his head crushed on the cross of Calvary. This is your day. It is your time to look up with confidence and to live in the victory of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, begin today then to fortify yourself and your family. Establish your life upon the solid rock of the everlasting Word. Let the words of the Apostle Paul, written to the church at Ephesus, be your daily guide. Finally, St. Paul says, Be strong in the Lord, and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle, St. Paul states, is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, my friend, do as St. Paul encourages you. Take up the full armor of God, so that you might be able to resist in the evil day, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Oh, giving into temptation is like descending a stairwell into a pool of murky water. Every step forward is also one step lower and deeper. And the further ahead into temptation you go, the deeper in trouble you become until you are over your head. How often haven't some married men and women played around with a fantasy of having an affair? But then after this act, which the Bible describes as a mere fleeting pleasure, which lasts only a little while, After this momentary fling is over, then the hell of all guilt sets in. Yes, do all in your power, therefore, and use the strength which Jesus now offers you. The tempter's head has been crushed on the cross. Flee then all evil lusts and live every day with the knowledge that no matter how hard he may try, the devil shall never be able to pluck the followers of the blessed Savior out of the gracious Father's loving hands. From this hour onward, face all of life's temptations with great joy and confidence, and let him, the Lord Jesus, who has slain forever the dragon of sin, fortify your life. Let him fill your soul with that divine solidarity which shall surely rebuff every attempt of the wicked one. Live with this confidence, and just as the sun rises each morning to dispel the fear of darkness, so also shall the Son of God arise within you. Like the early morning sun, God's only crucified and resurrected Son shall provide for you a blessed life of lasting security, daily assurance, and unfailing faith. As you, my friend, then pray to God in your daily devotions, and lead us not into temptation, then live also every hour, knowing that your blessed Creator has his loving hands of perfect protection wrapped tightly around you. Repeat with confidence the words of the psalmist, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." And so now, my friend, as you wonder whether the devil will succeed sometime in the future in getting you again to stumble into sin, and as you seek the strength to face each new day, cling tightly, yes, cling tightly to the power of the Easter resurrection. This glorious resurrection victory is the only cure for the anxious and tempted soul. In that glorious resurrection power is the hope you and your family need to stay together. But even more important, to live in Christ in happiness and harmony is the blessed state available to all who love the Lord Jesus, all who trust in his sin-cleansing blood, and all who would remain daily grafted tightly in him by feasting every day on the living Word. My friend, is sin and temptation at your door today? Overcome this evil. Yes, master all temptation through the resurrection power of Jesus Christ, that power through which the Savior crushed the head of the devil on the cross of Calvary. O Lord, our prayer today is that you would grant this power to all listeners as they live in confidence and in victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.